Hey y'all, you're listening to Naptime Investigations, a true crime podcast. What we're about to discuss is likely disturbing and contains mature content with the use of adult language and the occasional mom joke. Listener discretion is advised.
You can find us on Facebook or Instagram at Naptime Investigations or Twitter at Naptime_podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Taylor. We're just a couple of internet mom friends who like to talk about true crime and conspiracies when we can get our children to sleep.
Thanks for being our kind of person and joining us to talk about what normal people think isn't appropriate for small talk. Hey!
Yes,
it's really great.
This is why you're my best friend.
I'm so excited to come and see you.
Oh my god, it's like almost a fucking month away.
I'm so excited.
I'm dying.
So excited. No, they're not ready for it. I want you to take me to do something fun, but I don't know if it's going to be too cold.
What do you
want to
do? What do you want to do? Like, it's going to be cold AF, but like, I like too cold.
Bitch, I'm probably going to die. Anything under 75, I'm going to die.
Oh, you. RIP Taylor.
I know. It's nice knowing you guys. Have fun with the podcast without me.
I'm looking for someone
to replace. We're vetting my replacements.
Preferred skills is audio editing. We'll laugh at my jokes. And that's about all.
A really cool cat.
Yeah, cats.
Cats are number one. Mm-hmm. Do we want to talk about Brianna this episode at all, or I wasn't sure because we haven't done too much research about what's been going on. So yeah.
I also don't have the words that I want to articulate a lot. Okay. Two people, I will say that I am beyond disappointed. And here we are on the wrong side of history again.
Again, and it's continuously disappointing. Fuck 2020. Let's just put it out there. Just fuck 2020 as a whole. I definitely want to do get out at least a mini episode of as an update of her case. But I definitely am at the same point where the words are not there. Just pure disappointment.
We will do a dedicated mini episode towards Brianna. But I think Taylor and I both want to say, fuck this decision.
Fuck it.
And that is the most articulate and
classy
thing that I can come up with, because that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, there really is no...
Thanks, Loris, for setting me up with a great vocabulary.
Okay, honestly, so I wanted to also say, Loris, I have a bone to pick with you, because she doesn't even follow... She doesn't like our Facebook page. She hasn't liked our Facebook page.
I'm not shocked.
Loris! What are
you
doing?
She's not a good person. She's not a good person.
Do you hate us?
My dad liked it instantly. He was like, yes.
Yes, and I
was
like, number one.
And this is why Loris is going into a nursing home. And Bob Tender's coming home with me. He may be a cellar dweller and may not be allowed upstairs, but like, he is coming home with me and I will
it's
feed
fine.
Him.
It's fine. The disappointment room. He can live in the disappointment room.
I'll wipe his butt. It's fine. It's I don't fine. Care. Lori, though, you sitting in that shit, girl.
I literally got a notification that she commented on something, and then it told me, oh, why don't you remind her to like your page? I was like, fucking Loris, what are you doing?
Yeah, this is why I am who I am.
Well,
she's not a good person.
She's not.
Loris,
get your shit together.
I will withhold your grandchild from you until you like her. Our Facebook page and promote it. I need you to at least share one thing from us.
Just share it.
These are not empty threats.
They're not. I mean, aside from the fact that you live in a different state, it's not exactly easy to withhold him.
I mean, like, I FaceTime her like a few times a week so she can
see. Oh, so we're withholding FaceTimes.
Mm-hmm. At least, yeah, everything. 100%. I won't even update her. zero pictures. We have a shared album that I add all the pictures I take in a day of Chase. I have a whole family album that everyone
You're
sees
removed, Loris.
Yeah.
You have been removed deleting from the it. Will.
Yeah. Deleting on Facebook too. It's fine.
Blocking. No, block. Deleting isn't enough. Block her.
I've deleted her before.
I've blocked my mom before.
I'm real quick with the block and the delete on social
Same.
Media. I don't have
Ask
time.
My sisters. Ask my sisters, Brittany. How many times have I blocked you? I love you.
Well, I want to call out Brittany. I've been waiting for her to post pictures of her damn belly. I swear to God, Brittany.
Brittany, where are you?
We not cool, girl.
Where is it at?
I just want to see that little perfect baby. Yeah, I didn't know she was announcing it. So
yeah, I don't know.
Love the name, though.
I don't know if she is, so we'll just leave it out.
I didn't even announce what I was having.
You didn't even announce you were pregnant. Let's put that up. I love that you just pretended you were not pregnant.
Dude, I swear to God, people in meetings would be like, when are you doing? What are you talking about? I'm sorry. As I'm like rubbing my belly.
You're like.
Working through a breast. And like,
what are you talking about? That's literally goals. I literally want to grow up. When I grow up, I want to be you.
Yo, someone went to my baby shower where he was like, I didn't even know you're pregnant. And I was like, well.
Here it is.
I am due in 3 days.
So.
I do not want to talk about your child. That. I do not want to talk about your child. They do not want to talk about my child. I don't want to talk to you. Like, I don't. Thanks.
I hate it.
So. All right. Anyway,
now we've been super chaotic for 500 hours.
And we can edit some of that out probably.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, let us get into
it.
This case. It. So, all right. So this week we're going to talk about Bryce Laspisa. So I think that this is a pretty well-known case. I mean,
yeah,
I say well-known, but like, I know, I say well-known for people that are in the true crime community, probably not necessarily like JonBenet Ramsey well-known, you know what I mean?
It's funny you say that. I was telling Chris about the case that you were doing today, and I was like, yeah, we're doing the Bryce Laspisa case, and he was like,
who's that?
Do I know that case? And I was like, we did listen to this case together, because he like, I make him listen
oh, really?
To it with me. Yeah, and I was like, oh yeah, it was this one, blah, 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 and he was like, yeah. I know that case. That's a pretty well-known
Chris,
case.
I am
and
impressed.
I was like, yes, I think it is a well-known case for people like Taylor and I and you who are
for like the average Joe.
Yeah, like you don't like dead people like we do.
No, you don't.
But it's really funny. I'll like sit there and talk to him about stuff. But like he knew the name, and I was like, so we also watched a show about it too. There was a missing persons show on him. I don't remember what it was called.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, did not watch it. All right. Anyway, so yeah, this case, I think, for the true crime community is super well known.
It's very interesting. I think that that's
for sure. Because it's just, you know what I mean? Like, it's interesting doesn't seem like a good enough word for it. You know what I mean? Like, it's,
yeah.
I don't know.
So there's just like a lot of questions.
A lot going on.
Yeah. Anyways.
So, Bryce was born April 30th, 1994, to parents Karen and Michael Laspisa. They lived in Naperville, Illinois, and Bryce was an only child. Overall, from what I could gather, Bryce's childhood was normal, uneventful. There wasn't anything to note about his upbringing, so I don't have too much information about that. After Bryce graduated from Naperville High School in Naperville, Illinois, around 2013.
I just want to say Naperville sounds super white.
It absolutely is. It has
Ville
to be.
In the world.
Naperville. Just say it, Naperville.
Naperville.
Ew.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
I imagine they all voted for Trump.
Sorry. No, sorry. Around 2013, the Laspisa family moved to Laguna Niguel, California, but Bryce ended up moving to Chico, California to attend Sierra College, which was about 450 miles away from his parents.
That was a community college, correct?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I do want to note that I once again, this is a case that I'm fairly familiar with. That's why I asked, because when I was listening to the case and first learning about it, I found that it was very odd that he chose to go to a community college that was somewhat away from his parents.
Like 500 miles away. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and it's not like super weird, but it is pretty odd considering that it's a community college.
Yeah, and like they had just moved there. So not that it was like abnormal, like I think that this was an issue. I just wanted to note that, and just so everyone can kind of get that picture in their head, that he moved to this new state with his parents, was an only child, and he decided to go to a community college. Not that I'm bashing community college.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. And it's possible that he was going there to maybe attend a university after his first 2 years or something like that. Sure. So that's definitely a possibility. Because looks like, I'm trying to see if there's like, so it's just outside of Sacramento, which I believe is, there's a major university in Sacramento. So it's possible that he was just maybe trying to gather his footing.
It also could have been like they could have had a specialized program or something.
Right.
Something he was interested in. I just found that that was maybe not the most common thing. So
yeah, I definitely don't think so. That's definitely important to note for sure. So Bryce was happy with life at the time of his disappearance, by all accounts. He was doing well in school. He had a girlfriend, Kim, who he absolutely adored, and they were happy. On August 26, 2013, nothing really seemed to be out of ordinary. It was his first day of his sophomore year of college at Sierra College.
So did him and Kim meet the freshman year and they started dating the freshman year and continued on to sophomore year, I'm assuming?
I have no idea.
I would assume that's what would happen. I mean, like if he was just starting sophomore year.
That's my guess. Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how long they had been together. That's a good guess for sure.
That's just my guess, just from what I know, is that they were just going into sophomore year and they kind of already were together. They mm-hmm. were not kind of already were. They were together enough that like Kim had his parents' contact information and stuff.
So, right. I think they were close enough or in a relationship long enough for her to feel comfortable around his family and contacting his family and stuff like that for sure.
Sorry if I'm talking too much.
No, you're not talking too much at all. No, you're good. It was their first day of sophomore year of college at Sierra College. Bryce talked to his mother in the morning, had a regular conversation where nothing really stood out to her. Bryce's friends did say that he had been doing a bit of drinking and taking drugs the couple weeks leading up to his disappearance. But, I mean, being in college, I feel like that's, the drugs are a little bit much, but maybe the drinking, not so much. I feel like that's not out of the norm for a college experience.
So, yeah. And the other thing I want to say, though, is around that time, so he was, 2 years younger than me. So he would have been, 2012-ish going to college. So this is, 2013,
mm-hmm.
roughly?
Yeah.
So that time was also really different. So I remember I was in college at that time. I was a junior, senior-ish, and just kidding, I was moving to Maryland and relocating my whole life for a man. but like I was in school right around that time anyway, and it wasn't uncommon. Like I'd go to parties and I'd see people like
it was smoking
normal. Pills and stuff. Yeah, it was very
smoking pills? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Oh god. You didn't know you could smoke pills? You get
I live a sheltered life.
I don't want to tell people how to smoke pills, but you get tin foil and you put the pill on it and you light it. And then you with a straw the smoke that comes out of burning the
pills. That's how you do meth.
Yeah, but you do it with pills too.
Ew.
So anyway,
that's totally normal. That's totally normal for the time, for sure.
Going to parties around this time where I would literally walk into the bathroom, people would be very casually and just being like, hey, you want some? Like, one, I don't know you, sir. Two, no, even if I did know you, I would not want that.
Sir, this is a Wendy's drive-thru.
What? is the college bathroom? Like, what is going on here? This is the nurse's office.
Excuse me?
So I do want to say that I think that was right around the time that it wasn't super taboo that kids were doing more experimenting. Maybe kids were always doing experimenting. I don't super know.
I think that's just around the time frame. Maybe we all saw it for sure.
Yeah.
Or at least you did. I didn't go to parties. I did not do that thing. So I don't
Which is
know.
Funny because like I never really like drank or anything.
Just but, like, parties. Always, hell yeah. I mean, why not? I probably would have if I just didn't want to nap all the time, which nothing's changed. So, but yeah.
So I just wanted to say that, like, I just remember that time very vividly, and
yeah, for sure. Super. That's why I'm like, it was noted a couple of times that, oh, he was drinking and doing drugs up to this. And I'm like, that doesn't really mean too much to me, honestly. I think it's important to know because it's part of who he was and what was going on around this time, but I don't think that it was the nail in the coffin, if you will.
Oh, for sure. I also think that those things need to be taken almost with a grain of salt. Like, just because someone was drinking and doing drugs, that does not mean that is the sole indicator as to what happened, or right. What is maybe painting every picture for every person who was drinking or doing drugs.
Right.
I know plenty of people who've done drugs or drank or done anything and they didn't go missing or they didn't get murdered. And this right. is in a lot of times to tarnish people's reputation or what was happening leading up to what happened. So,
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, so anyways, so that night, that same night, Bryce's roommate, Sean, remembered that Bryce had taken Vyvanse, which was an ADHD medication, to help him stay up and play video games, which while doing this, Bryce was also drinking heavily. So I'm like, Bryce, I mean, again, this isn't like, I feel like people have always been taking these ADHD. I feel like people are still taking these ADHD medications.
I know when they're not prescribed to them. To like clean their house.
Dude, I would.
Or like, I remember I was going kayaking with someone and they were like, oh, I should have taken Adderall. And I was like, excuse me?
Why?
Why are you going? Like, what?
You're going to do this one thing. It's not like you have to do a million other things.
What is going on
here? You need to focus on this.
Let me drive, please.
That's psychotic, I swear.
The other thing I want to say though is like it may be a little odd to me that like he was doing this alone in his room to play video games, but not super odd that
not to set off any alarm bells for sure. Definitely something to note though, which I think this roommate did.
Yeah.
So on August 27th, Kim, oh goodness. On August 27th, Kim, Bryce's girlfriend, noticed somewhat of a shift in his behavior. She became concerned. While no one is sure what this specific shift was or what it was caused by, Bryce did tell Kim that that medication that he took wasn't prescribed to him, which I think probably set the radar off on her account. But I don't know if she knew what it was that he took, just that he took medication not prescribed to him. The same day, Bryce began giving away some of his personal belongings. He gave away a pair of earrings that were a gift from his mother, as well as his Xbox.
As someone who's like staying up and taking medicine to play video games even longer, like, why are you giving away your Xbox?
Right, exactly. Like,
that is alarming.
That is very alarming for sure. But also, while I agree that it is alarming, at the same time, I'm thinking if he's drinking and taking alcohol, the mix of two are not good. So maybe he's just being fucking weird while on the medication or while drinking and then going to move forward with his life and be like, okay, give me my Xbox back. What are you doing? But who knows, you know?
Yeah, I just, once again, like I read so much crap that like instantly when I see that, I'm like,
100%. It says, especially in this situation, it definitely sets off alarm bells.
Yeah.
100%.
I could also be hypersensitive to it. I don't know.
True. This is true. So the same night, he texted Sean and said, quote, "I love you, bro. Seriously. You're the best person I've ever met, and you saved my soul." On August 28th, Sean became concerned with Bryce's behavior and decided to call his mom to let her know what was going on. He told Bryce's mother that Bryce was acting super weird. Bryce had told him that something was going on, but didn't tell him what it was. He also told her that he...
Which is never good. Let's just say that. Like, if
just
you...
Just fucking tell people what's going on.
Don't be cryptic, dude. Like, I don't...
I hate that shit. Okay, so Sean ended up telling Bryce's mom that he had even broken up with Kim over text, telling her that she would be, quote, better off without him.
I don't care what's going on in your life, dude. Like, don't break up with anyone via text. Like, let's grow some confidence and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, not cool.
Not cool. Later, I think that same day, Bryce called his mother and let her know that he had driven Kim home, which I believe that she lived within the same city. From what I gathered, it was like quite a drive. So I think like on the other side of the city, or even in a neighboring city, which
sure.
I keep fucking saying city. So he had driven Kim home, but Kim got on the line and told his mom that Bryce was acting super strange and that she didn't think that he should be driving and that she was going to keep his keys from him. His mom was like, dude, what's going on? And he's like, okay, like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to come see you tomorrow. And Bryce was like, "Ugh, no, it's fine. Everything is fine. You don't need to drive all the way up here. I definitely want to talk to you, but you don't need to drive up here to do it." So Karen gets back on the phone with Kim and is like, okay, fine. He's fine. Just give him his keys back. And Kim was like, okay, fine. And then tells Bryce, only if you call me first thing in the morning. Bryce was like, okay, fine. So Bryce leaves Kim's house around 11:30 that night, which I don't give a fuck what your mom says. I'm keeping your keys. Like, if I don't think you should be driving, you're not driving. Yeah. I mean, I'm not here to blame anybody or anything like that, but I feel like she knew that something was going on because she's there with him in person.
Yeah. The other thing is like, moms can have a very blind spot. Yeah, for sure.
Children.
Unless it's Loris and me, because like, she has zero blind spots for me, because, you know, I'm her black sheep. But, you know, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, so around 1 a.m. on August 29th, Bryce calls his parents' house, but the call was missed. Karen initially didn't think anything of it. She thought, okay, you know, he probably just made it home and was just calling to let us know. It's not that big of a deal. However, phone records would later show that Bryce had called from a deserted road in Rockland, California, about an hour away from his apartment. So this is where I couldn't find too much information. So if I'm wrong, or if I have this wrong, please let me know. But I did quite a bit of searching, because the timeline just like skips. And I feel like this is on track with it, but like, I could be wrong. So we'll just go with it.
Yeah.
Cause I'm not fucking sure.
Yeah. Let's go with it.
So I apologize that this just skips. I'm not sure why. I don't know if I'm missing something or if I could find something. So if I'm missing something, I apologize. So on August 30th, around 11 a.m., Bryce's parents received a voicemail from Bryce letting them know that he had used their emergency roadside assistance coverage around 9 a.m. as he had just run out of gas west of Bakersfield. So the night before, he was in Rockland, California, ends up in Bakersfield, California, which is like 300 miles away, so about 4.5 hours.
And I noted here, I'm unsure if the dates are wrong or if there's a really large gap of time between Rockland and Bakersfield. So while he's in outside of Bakersfield, this gentleman named Christian from Castro Tire delivered the gas to Bryce. And
the internet says it's 4 hours and 32 minutes away. 295-ish miles.
Yeah, 4.5 hours.
Yep. That's what the Google said.
The Goog
machine told me.
Thanks, Goog.
So this gentleman named Christian from Castro Tire delivered gas to Bryce, and Bryce charged his parents' credit card for the gas. The credit card record showed that Bryce was in Button Willow, California, which is pretty close to Chico, where Bryce lived. So they assumed that he had just run out of gas and was on his way to visit his parents. He would have been home to his parents' house in 3 hours had he stayed on this path. So his parents had continuously tried to call Bryce, but he wouldn't pick up the phone. Later that day, when Bryce doesn't end up showing up, so a couple hours later, I should say, they call that same tire shop and speak with Christian, and they're like, hey, we don't know what's going on. Will you please go out there and check on him? And Christian, the absolute angel human that he is like,
we love, yes, Christian.
We stand a Christian. He's like, yes, absolutely. So Christian goes back out there, and Bryce is in the same exact spot where he had left him a few hours ago. Christian was like, you know, dude, what are you doing? And Bryce just replied, nothing. That's it. He just said nothing.
I don't understand this. This is where it gets weird for me. Like, I cannot sit and do nothing anywhere, but
for longer than 5 minutes.
Like, and even my that's car, pushing it. Just sitting there on the side of the road. Maybe like he just needed some time, but that just seems really odd to me.
For sure. So from here, Christian reports back to the Lispisas, and he says his eyes are a bit red, but overall he's acting normal and he seems okay. So he left him there. Around 12:30 p.m., Karen is finally able to get a hold of Bryce, and they talk, and they finally set a plan that Bryce was going to head home and that he was going to be there around 3 p.m. But again, Bryce never shows up, ignores his parents' calls for the next 6 hours. It's really great. His parents end up tracking his cell phone, and they're like, dude, what the fuck's going on? Like, where the fuck are you? And they find that he's only traveled about 8 miles within the last 9 hours.
Dude, I track everyone. The other day, I was like, where the fuck is Taylor? They like pull up your location. I'm like, I think she's home.
That looks like home to me. I love that. By 9 p.m., his parents are freaking the fuck out, which honestly, TBH seems way overdue, but like, I'll just leave it as what it is. So they're freaking out and they're like, okay, something's not right. So they contact California Highway Patrol and ask them to check on Bryce. The police found Bryce still in Button Willow, California, on Lagoon Drive. The police searched his car, found no drugs, alcohol. They even completed a field sobriety test and he passed. So since Bryce was 19 at this time, not under any type of influence, there really wasn't much they could do, and they just encouraged him, you know, call his parents and go home. So the officer,
I hate that I'm about to say this, Taylor.
Say it.
I don't want to blame anyone. However, as a mother, I would have been there real quick.
Real fucking quick.
Like, I don't even know if I would have told him to drove. I would have been like, Kim, keep him there. I'll be there in
20.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it'd be like 3.5 hours, but like still I'll be there.
However long it takes. Like I think
the first time that I listened to this case, or like I heard about this case, I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, and like, I know every situation is different, and it's hindsight's 2020, right? So
yeah.
And I have to keep myself grounded with that, because I'm constantly like, especially when I was researching this case, I was like, bro, what? like, you are fine laying in your bed when you don't know where the fuck your kid is. Like,
I swear to God, like, if I would have, if it would have been a similar situation with Loris, like right now, she's 1,000+ miles away from me. She would have been like, I'll be there. Like,
right. Don't move. I don't have a choice.
Don't do nothing. I'm going to talk to you the whole time. Like, you hang up this phone, I'm calling 911. Like, there is.
Right.
There was just, I feel like it could have been handled differently. Once again, I'm not trying to victim blame.
No, definitely not.
I just.
It's very difficult because it's like, I also have to keep myself to the point where we deal with this all the time. Like, not deal with this, but we are researching these cases where these things happen. So I feel like our brains probably work a little bit different than those who aren't into like true crime or think the way that you and I do. You know what I mean? So yeah. Like, I obviously, I don't think that they don't blame themselves enough, you know?
Yeah. And I bet that they, in
so I don't mean to put like, more blame on them or anything, because like they didn't,
I'm sure they feel hateful. They
do anything. Yeah. But also they didn't do anything.
Yeah. The other thing is I think that we also have to think about their lives too. You know, they're recently retired. They just moved there. Right. They're probably enjoying their time alone for the first time in 19 years. And
they're letting their baby go off and do his own thing. And
we don't know what they did for a profession. You and I think are probably a little hypersensitive to it in addition to us being into true crime, but also our professions.
Exactly.
I work with worse situations a lot of the time, and so do you. Right. So we could also be
hypersensitive to that.
Yeah, hypersensitive and engulfed in the worst case scenario a lot of time. So
yeah, I definitely always jump to thinking somebody's dead. So sorry.
My dad said to me the other day, like, he lost weight, and I was like, have you gotten your colonoscopy? You turned 50 like last year.
he's like, excuse me? I just was excited because I've been dieting, but it's fine.
He was like, what? And I was like, yeah, like colon cancer, you know, it could.
Like, that's the killer.
Like 1 in 4 people or I don't know. I like spit out some facts. And he was like, Amanda, I changed my diet and started exercising. And I was like,
he's okay. Like, I gotta go now.
He was like, I was like, oh, that's good. Like, congrats, dude. Like, that's exciting. He was like, why did you instantly put me in the grave? I was like, I mean, you're 50 now, so colon cancer is a killer.
Yeah, I definitely probably would have done the same thing. But yeah, so.
Get your colonoscopies, people.
Get your colonoscopies. Just do it. All right. So yeah, so there was the officer, there wasn't much that they could do other than encourage him to call his parents and go home. But Bryce was really hesitant. He did not want to do that. So the officer actually dialed the number for him and made him talk to his mother around 10 PM.
He must've been a dad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He must've been a parent or something. His mom was just like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? And Bryce was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go hang out with my friends later. Like, I'm sorry, but no,
you were not, sir.
Absolutely the fuck not. Go, come home now.
You got me fucked up, Bryce. Get your ass this house.
So from here, Bryce stops at a gas station in Buttonwillow, gets a drink, and tells his mom that he's on the I-5 on his way, but wouldn't give her any more information. At some point again within the night, Bryce again uses the emergency roadside, still being in Buttonwillow. This time, the emergency roadside helped him out and followed him onto the interstate to make sure that he got there okay and then left. According to his GPS, from the time that he got on the highway, he should have arrived at his parents' home by 3:25 a.m. At this point, he's been in Buttonwillow for around 13 hours doing absolutely nothing and no reason why. So around 1:50 a.m., Bryce calls his mother and tells her that he had gotten off the highway, but he had gotten back on. And then spoke with her again around 2:08 a.m. And Bryce told her that he was too tired to continue driving. He was going to get off. He was going to get off the highway, get some sleep, and continue driving in the morning. So obviously his mom's like, what the fuck ever? Like, fine. Like, I get that you've been awake for forever now, since presumably he's been awake for around 48 hours at this point. His mother was just like,
stay awake for 4 hours.
Straight up. I need a nap after I wake up. However, Bryce never pulls over to sleep. He continues driving for another 90 minutes.
I wish I could say I was surprised at this point.
I know. It's just so chaotic that I'm like, okay, well, what's next? You know what I mean? So yeah, he continues driving for another 90 minutes and ends up around Castaic Lake. Around 8 a.m. August 31st, the Las Fiesas get a knock on the door from a California Highway Patrol officer. They were asked if they owned a 2003 Toyota Highlander, and they were just like, yes. The officer told them that the vehicle had been found crashed on its side and abandoned near Castaic Lake in a 25-foot embankment. The rear window was even broken out, and there was some blood on the headrest behind him, but not enough to believe that anyone was seriously injured. But there was also no sign of Bryce. They also found all of Bryce's belongings, his laptop, his wallet, his phone. His duffel bag was in the back of the car and was unzipped and appeared to be ruffled through. The police thought that maybe after the car rolled over, that he was trying to find something to break the window with, or he was grabbing something specific out of there and left. CCTV footage later showed that Bryce made 3 separate trips up this road where the car was ultimately found. So he made 3 separate trips between when he left Button Willow and 3 a.m.
Which is weird. 3 separate trips to the same place. Like
the same spot. Like
the same ramp. Almost. Like it was like,
yeah, it was like a boat dock thing. No, it wasn't a boat.
I think it was like a state park almost thing where like you had to go up a hill, which I could be totally wrong. I just remember
it was like up and like over the lake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was, there was obviously footage there going up and stuff. So,
sure. Yeah, it's God. Just very chaotic. So one camera caught his vehicle around 2:15 a.m. headed down Lake Hughes Road near Castaic Lake, just minutes after he had spoken with his mother. This same camera caught the vehicle driving up the same road around 4:29 a.m. So tire tracks found at the scene at the top of the embankment, they were leading towards Castaic Lake. They were able to tell that the tracks were made at a fairly high rate of speed, and there was no indications that brakes were ever even attempted to be used. So something is going on here. So like, I just feel like that's, aside from everything else, is pretty obvious. But search efforts began almost immediately. On foot, divers in the lake, you name it, they did it. But there was absolutely no trace of Bryce. On day 9, they actually used bloodhounds to try and track Bryce's scent. The dogs led them up a road that crossed a dam all the way to a truck stop and then stopped completely. After about 3 weeks of searching, the police called off all search efforts as no information was found. But volunteers have continued, and I believe that they still continue today. And police have continued to patrol the area regularly, but with no new information. Police believe that it was some effort of suicide, as people contemplating suicide often give away their belongings, write letters to loved ones, stuff like that. But Family and friends have been super adamant that although he may have been acting weird, nobody got the impression that he wanted to die or harm himself in any way. But I feel like I disagree with that. I feel like his behavior was super chaotic and that of somebody trying to commit suicide.
He was for sure in a psychotic episode at minimum. Right. I don't know if that's the correct term.
I have listed like just theories from what I'm gathering in my research of obviously number one is suicide, right? Mm-hmm. But also what I think personally...
I don't want to go there yet.
Okay, what I wanted
to say is about the other thing I wanted to say, and I hate that I want to say this because I don't want to say disagreeing with the victim's family, but no one ever wants to think that their loved one is considering suicide.
You have rose colored glasses when it comes to your loved ones, for sure.
I'm sure they already hold a great deal of guilt in this situation.
Right.
And not maybe picking up those signs or symptoms or whatever may make them sleep better at night, you know?
Right.
And I hope that that's not the case, but his mom told him to come home and told his girlfriend that he was fine to come home. And I don't believe that she would have said those things and told her to like, let him go if she genuinely didn't believe that.
For sure.
So I think for her sanity and everyone involved, she probably has to think that. I
put myself in her shoes, and as a mother, you don't ever want to think that something's wrong with your kid or that they're unhappy or that they want to take their own life. Like, you would never want to think that, especially about your own child. So I feel like there was some sort of blind eye to everything leading up to this. But I definitely think that I definitely disagree.
I agree. I think that there, I agree with you. I disagree with that there wasn't signs.
All of the signs are there.
Sure.
But I mean, the only person that knows is Bryce.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, his body was never found. So
do you want to go into the theories?
Yeah, so I have a couple different theories here that I could find. There was one that I couldn't find too much information about, so I didn't want to like bring in names or anything like that. But apparently they had found a body a couple months after Bryce went missing in the area. They found a body that everybody thought to have been Bryce, but it ended up being a different individual who was met with foul play in the area. But one of the theories is that he got up and decided to walk away from his life, but then was met with foul play. But I don't think that that's possible, honestly. Because if he was met with random foul play, I feel like we would have found a body by now. But I mean, it's definitely, okay, so I shouldn't say it's impossible. It's definitely possible. I just don't think it's plausible.
You don't think it's the most likely option?
For sure. So the other ones are due to drugs and alcohol, which I automatically discredit because the field sobriety test and no drugs or alcohol found with him by the California Highway Patrol. I mean, that doesn't negate that he could have picked his things up somewhere else. But he also wasn't caught on like footage or anything like that. So I don't think that that's as likely either.
Yeah. I think that he definitely tried to commit suicide.
For sure.
That is my guess. And I think that he was unsuccessful. Yeah, obviously, because there was blood out and there was a trail. I trust dogs. So they found a trail to him going to.
I trust dogs more than I trust people. So.
Yep. So if they found a trail of his scent going to a truck stop, right?
Right. Yeah. So that's one of the theories is that it went to so the trail led him to a truck stop where people truly believe that he just like hitched a ride and left.
I don't know if I necessarily think that's what happened. Mm-hmm. We don't know, you know, like he could have walked to the truck stop, went back. Like, I don't think his body hasn't been found. So like, I don't know how likely that his body wouldn't have been found by now, but, right. I for sure think that
it was a suicide attempt. And
the other,
maybe he ran away, maybe he just went away.
I just feel like he is so unique looking with his red hair that you would, he's sure. not somebody that would have blended in with society.
And his,
you
know what I mean? Really cool tats.
He's got great tats.
So
the other thing though, too, what I think, honestly, I think it's a combination of a couple things. So I definitely think that he wanted to commit suicide personally. I do believe that. I think that it also had to do with somewhat of a psychotic break and a traumatic brain injury from the impact of the accident.
What are you talking about with the traumatic brain? Like, what does that mean? Like, you think that he doesn't remember who he is?
I think that in the accident, he sustained a traumatic brain injury. So some sort of concussion on sure. one level or another. And not that necessarily he doesn't remember who he is, but more so that it caused some sort of psychotic break in him or some mix up with the medications that he's been on prior. I just feel like there's some concoction of all of that.
Sure. So do you believe that he was in a psychotic break prior to
I definitely do.
Okay. Sure. That's where my question was coming
from. Yes, I'm sorry. So I definitely think that he wanted to commit suicide, but he was in the middle of a psychotic break, was trying to, and then was in the accident and has a traumatic brain injury from that.
Sure. That makes more sense when you say it like that.
Yes, I'm sorry. That was all over the place.
I was confused. I don't know, dude. I'm just really torn. I don't think that he could have walked away from his life.
I don't think that he could have. So not successfully anyways.
No. Also, like, that is such a cop out. I hate when people say that. Like, the likelihood of that happening, like, yeah, I'm sure it happens here and there.
So he could do it if he wanted to, but how many times they're like, oh, I just walked away. But how many people actually just walk away?
I mean, we'll never know. But I just think that it's lazy. And it's okay to not know. It's okay to say we don't know, people.
So
we don't know what happened to Bryce.
We don't. And he is still missing to this day.
Still a missing person. And, you know, for everyone's sake, I hope that he is living his life and doing really great things. And
I hope that he just walked away. Honestly, I hope I'm wrong. And I hope that he's happy in his new life, wherever he is.
However, I don't think
it's likely.
I think his body would have been found if he wasn't taken elsewhere, though.
Right. So,
like, I'm curious if he hitchhiked, you know?
It's possible. Maybe he left the country. I don't know.
Who knows? Interesting case. Mental health awareness, all of those things, like, there is no shame in it.
But ask for help. Definitely let us know what your theories are for Bryce, because I'm curious as to what everybody else thinks. Okay.
Bye
y'all.
We hope you join us every Monday for our weekly episode, and as an added bonus, we've deemed the first Sunday of every month as Serial Killer Sunday. So you can look forward to an extra long episode about our favorite serial killers once a month.
Go follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Naptime Investigations or Twitter at Naptime_podcast. If you want us to cover one of your favorite cases, please send over your case suggestions via email at naptimeinvestigations@gmail.com, or there is a link in our Instagram bio.
As always, we hope you enjoyed this episode, and thanks for joining this party.
Bye.
Bam.